All right. Thank you. Okay. So maybe I'm talking too loud. Sorry. I have no relationships to disclose. So a little bit of background here. Hospital admissions are a significant driver of direct medical costs. And although some hospitalizations may be necessary, it's believed that improved primary and preventative care in the community would lower the likelihood of hospital admission. So as a result, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality created a set of measures known as the Prevention Quality Indicators, or PQIs, to identify preventable hospitalizations for ambulatory care sensitive conditions, or ACSs. So the primary prevention of ACS conditions has, for the most part, been limited to the detection and treatment of individual level risk factors, and as a result has achieved only modest success. And clinical practices continue to intervene at the individual level, thereby missing an opportunity to reduce hospital costs and to improve patient outcomes through a much more targeted community level effort. So to move beyond this traditional approach to analyzing clinical data, this study sought to apply what I'm calling a spatial lens to help identify vulnerable communities and thus better inform clinical practice. Specifically, we explored hotspots of preventable hospitalizations for diabetes and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD, and adult asthma among Bronx adults who are attending Montefiore Medical Center. Additionally, we assessed the association between these hospitalizations and neighborhood-level characteristics while accounting for any spatial clustering or what's called spatial autocorrelation. Okay, so this is an ecological study. It used 2012 to 13 inpatient admission data from Montefiore's electronic health records. All patients were geocoded to the 2010 census at the block group level. And the study population included all New York City adults age 25 and older residing in Bronx block groups with a preventable hospitalization for either diabetes with long-term complications or chronic obsessive pulmonary disease and adult asthma. Did I say obsessive? That's a nice typo, isn't that? Sorry about that. Okay, moving on. Measures. So preventable diabetes and COPD adult asthma hospitalizations followed this PQI methodology. Unique admission rates, so that's not total admissions, but it's unique admission rates, per 1,000 population were log transformed. We also identified super utilizers, and we identified them as patients who had more than two readmissions within the study period. Neighborhood characteristics were obtained from the 2010 U.S. Census, as well as the 2005-09 American Community Survey 5-year sample data. Demographic factors included sex, age distribution, and race ethnicity, namely the proportion of non-Hispanic Black residents and Hispanic residents. And the socioeconomic attributes were proportion of households living below the federal poverty level and the proportion of adults over 25 without a high school degree. Okay, so spatial clustering or spatial autocorrelation was tested using Moran's eye and something called the Local Indicators of Spatial Autocorrelation, or LISA statistics. And to represent the spatial relationships among neighborhoods, or how the neighborhoods, the pattern relationships between neighborhoods, I used a Queen's contiguity matrix. So for testing associations between the different PQIs and the neighborhood characteristics, ordinary least squares multivariable regression models were fit, and then they were compared to spatial autoregressive error models that specifically counted for any spatial clustering or dependence among observations. Lastly, model residuals were mapped using LISA stats to identify neighborhoods where the models were not performing well. Analysis was conducted in SAS, GEODA, and ArcGIS. All right. So here's a pretty, crowded table. And it's what really is more a traditional approach to clinical data. So this descriptive table provides information regarding the patient characteristics, such as age, sex, race, ethnicity, proportions, for each of the PQIs. But what it doesn't do is really take into account the composition of the overall patient population at Montefiore, nor does it really help us to understand how to target at-risk individuals. So this is where this spatial lens comes into play. We decided to look at where these patients resided to see if we could identify local hotspots for PQI rates based not on these patient characteristics, but instead on where they lived. Maps. All right, so this is a map of the Bronx. It shows the cluster analysis for preventable diabetes hospitalizations. And what we're seeing here is that the diabetes admission rates are not randomly distributed. So the significant hotspots are indicated in red on the map. And those are neighborhoods with high diabetes rates surrounded by correlated high rates in adjoining areas or neighborhoods. Blue areas indicate cold spots or clusters of low rates. And just for additional context, we also added the location of the super utilizers to the maps to see if they lived in these hotspots. And as I said before, the preventable hospitalizations for diabetes are not randomly distributed across the Bronx. It appears that the PQIs are clustered in the Northeast Bronx, suggesting that there may be some sort of geographical component to preventable hospitalizations. So here's the same map, but for preventable COPD adult asthma hospitalizations. And very similarly to diabetes, we have hotspots located in the Northeast Bronx. And additionally, it does appear for at least COPD and asthma that many of the super utilizers are also located in these clusters. So looking at these two maps, we know that high PQI rates tend to cluster in specific areas, specific neighborhoods, but we don't really know what is driving these spots. So to investigate this, we then assess the relationship between PQI rates and neighborhood sociodemographic attributes to see if we could explain these clusters. So here we have the results for the diabetes PQI. The first model represents the OLS results, and the second, the SAR error model, which is specifically accounting for this spatial dependence or clustering. And we find that higher rates of diabetes hospitalizations are indeed significantly associated at the 0.05 level with older neighborhood age composition and a greater proportion of black residents in both of these models. And in the SAR model, a greater proportion of Hispanic residents is also significant. Interestingly, sex and both of the neighborhood socioeconomic covariates, namely educational attainment and poverty, are insignificant. For COPD and adult asthma, older age composition is significant in both models, yet in the OLS model, only in the OLS model, is the proportion of black residents related to the PQI rates. No other neighborhood level covariates are significant. So the neighborhood characteristics that are represented in these models are not really explaining very much. They're not explaining these high clusters. They're not really telling us much of anything. And it could be that, you know, there's not enough variation in the neighborhoods to discern an effect, or more likely that there are these unknown contextual factors that are operating at a very local level that are driving these hotspots. So to further check that hypothesis, we ran a LISA cluster analysis on the SAR error model residuals to see if there was a spatial pattern to the predictive power of our models. So if the model residuals were randomly distributed across the study area, then we would assume that there might not be enough variability across the Bronx, or our models could just stink. That's possible and likely. However, if the residuals were clustered, then this is indicating that there really are some other local contextual factors at work here, and we're just not capturing them. All right, another map. So this is the LISA residual map for diabetes. The purple here represents positive residual clusters. That is, in these areas, the observed PQI rate for diabetes was greater than what the model predicted it should be. The orange depicts the opposite, so where the observed rate was less than the model's predicted rate. And what do we see here? We see that there appear to be some positive residual clusters in the Northeast Bronx where the model had very poor predictive power. So it indicated that it indicated lower rates than what we actually observed in these neighborhoods. And if I contrast this with the LISA map for diabetes, you can sort of see that the purple areas are overlapped with the red areas. So let's look at COPD in adult asthma. So here, a similar purple pattern is shown where there's positive residual clusters, again, in the Northeast Bronx, indicating that in these areas, the observed PQI rate was greater than what the model predicted. And again, if I contrast this with the LISA cluster map for COPD adult asthma, the purple areas are once again overlapping with the red areas. So, what does this mean? Well, we have local hotspots of PQIs, and in these same areas, our multivariable models do a really poor job at predicting these high rates. So if we put this all together, what really has this geospatial approach taught us? It taught us that cluster analysis did indeed reveal that there is significant spatial autocorrelation or clustering in both of these PQIs. Hotspots and some of the superutilizers are evident in the Northeast Bronx. Second, our multivariable models were not able to predict these hotspots, indicating that there really are other local contextual factors that are driving these hospitalizations in the Northeast Bronx. And what we need to do next is try to elucidate what these contextual attributes and mechanisms are. And ultimately, with a better understanding of these these very localized drivers of hotspots, clinical efforts can develop more targeted interventions and thus focus limited resources on vulnerable communities. And I wish I knew what those local contextual factors are, but that is, I guess, step two. And that is it.